promised us an easy journey of life. He promised us a great destination, however. Let us make the journey of life meaningful as well as memorable for others and ourselves. For we all want our relationships to be characterized by the persistence and self-sacrifice approved by God and Jesus Christ. But we can never do that on our own. The kind of love we long to show others and the eternal is only found in a growing relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Without God's power in our lives, not just stating it, but allowing it to be meaningfully acted out, lest our love will run out. Can we afford it? And there's too much at stake for us to become disconnected from Christ, God, and our fellow begotten children of God's family. Remember that the scriptures state that some will deliver, yes, us, to be afflicted and be killed. And furthermore, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 and verse 10, what it says, that many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. To avoid this, we need to remain plugged in to God and His Son and draw on their agency, the Holy Spirit, remembering too that we are vessels of God's Holy Spirit. So, brethren, you may wonder what we are going to be speaking about. But before I get there, why are we to connect with Christ? Well, Jesus Christ told us back in John chapter 15, verse 5, that apart from Him, yes, we can do nothing. And the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Truth is not just a principle. Truth is personified in Jesus Christ. And one of the clearest and best known statements by Jesus Christ is found back in John chapter 14, verse 6, which we all probably know by heart. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Here we are witnessing the connection. And everybody is betting his or her life on something. I am basing my life in the fullest of hope that Jesus Christ is who He said He is and was. But what do you do with the truth once you have discovered it? With four things. We go the BPSS way. What's the BPSS way? B, believe the truth. Practice the truth. Truth is not just intellectual exercise. It is something to obey. And S, stand for the truth. The Bible tells us our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for it at all times. And S is spread the truth. As we stated, the Bible also says back in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, it says, let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you were in dead earnest about it. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. There's a lot in the Bible that I do not understand, and that makes me rather uncomfortable. But the fact is, it is the truth. It is a map that always takes me where it promises. As Jesus told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to me except through me. That's Jesus Christ saying this. If you had really known me, he said what? You would know who my Father is. And from now on, he said, you do know him and have seen him. That's the Father. As we have come to recognize the commencement of true connection, we move forward. For the eternal God made it possible for us to keep the connection by placing others, his people, where we can have that vital link accomplished. He recognizes our need. And one of the wisest men on earth, he was instructed to write the following in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. I like the New King James Version. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. One of the deepest needs that we have in life is that need to be understood. We all desperately need to feel that somebody can feel what we are feeling and understand what we are thinking. Hence, we all need people who connect with us. There was a study by the Californian Department of Mental Health, found that if we are disconnected from other people, we are 2 to 3 times more likely to die an early death. And we are 4 times more likely to suffer from an emotional burnout. And we are 5 times more likely to suffer clinical depression. And we are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. We need human connections. And we need human connections for physical, emotional, and spiritual health. See, Christians are like, I would call, coals of fire together. They glow. But once they are separate, you know what happened? They lose not only that their glow, but their warmth as well. We need one another. And we need people who, as I would say, we go the URC road. What's the URC road that I'm talking about? Who understand us, who relate to us, and who can connect to us. Are we striving toward developing that necessary bond as we discover between Jesus Christ and God himself? What did Christ inform us? And back in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Can we definitely say, all begotten children of God, us, that we are one? One in mind and in spirit, thus displaying what God and Christ experience. Learning how to connect with people on a heart-to-heart and a soul-to-soul level is one of life's most important skills. Unfortunately, nobody ever teaches us how to do this. Yes, we learn mathematics, we learn science, we learn geography, we learn history, but nobody teaches us how to connect with people. And we may be brilliant in some subject, but if we do not know how to connect with people, we are still not going to go very far in life. So where am I focused? My focus is then to look at six guidelines for building fruitful, godly relationships. Six guidelines for building fruitful and godly relationships. We heard in the opening prayer, edifying one another. Over the next few minutes then, we will look at these six guidelines. It does not matter our age or stage of life, whether we are parent and we want to know how to better connect with our children or vice versa, we can use these keys or principles or guidelines. If we are engaged or married or about to do so and we want to know how to better relate to that other person, we can use these keys. If we are a teacher or employer or employee, no matter who we are, if we need to get close to anybody in life, we need these guidelines so as to enhance our relationships. Together, we will see that human connections are good medicine. And a sweet friendship, as it says, what? Refreshes the soul. So the first guideline for building fruitful, godly relationships with people, be courageous. Be courageous and take the initiative. Make the first move. Be courageous and take the initiative by making the first move. God did take the initiative in first loving us, as 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And we love him because he first loved us. If he so loved us by giving his son to die for us, and we also ought also, should say, to love one another, as 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. By taking the initiative. Do not wait on somebody else to connect with you. You must take the initiative to connect with them. This often takes courage. Why? Because when we are full of fear, that cringing fear, that timidity, and that shameful fear, and anxiety, hatred, and we are given to disrespect, we do not get close to one another. In fact, we back off, or we what we would say, we retreat from one another. We are afraid of being rejected, being manipulated, hurt, and used. This should not be, for perfect love casts out fear. That means the cringing fear, the timidity. Saying there is no fear in love, as 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. But in verse 12 of that same 1 John chapter 4, if we are allowing God to dwell in us, his love is going to be perfected in us. It will be displayed in respect and not thinking more highly too of ourselves. The type of cringing fear is as old as mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned and God came looking for Adam, what did Adam state in Genesis chapter 3 verse 10? He said, I was afraid and I hid. We hide true our true selves. We hide our true selves. We do not let people know what we are really like. Why? Because we think if I tell you who I am and you don't like me, I have no alternative. So what we do? We wear masks and we pretend. Or we become like the porcupines. We thrust out our spines, forbidding others to come close to us. Fear does at least three terrible things to relationships. I like to call it the 3Ds factor. Our fears make us defensive. And we are afraid to reveal ourselves. And when people point out weaknesses, what we do? We retaliate and we defend ourselves. Our fears make us defensive. Our fear also keep us distant. So not only defensive, but distant. We do not let people get close to us. What we do, we want to withdraw and hide our emotions. We do not want to be open and honest. Yes, fear makes us defensive, makes us distant, and our fears make us demanding. The more insecure we are, the more we try to control and dominate things. We try to have the last word in relationship. It is always a symptom of fear and insecurity. And I should say not only in the relationship, but also in discussion that we may be in. Where do we get the courage, though, for taking the first step in connecting with people? We get it from God's Spirit in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to be using the Living Bible translation. For the Holy Spirit, God's gift. No, it is God's gift. God does not want us to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong, that is courageous, and to love them and enjoy being with them. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But he has given us, and I like how the King James Version eloquently informs us in this one too. He said he has given us the spirit of power, that is divine power. Not our power, and that is, it goes with all the spiritual resources we need for every trial and every threat, as we noticed back in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 through 20. And that divine power is effective, and not only effective, it is productive. And spiritual gives also that spiritual energy which we need, as we note back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Also love, not only the spirit of power, but the spirit of love, which centers on pleasing God and seeking others' welfare and not our own. As Romans chapter 14, verse 8, Romans chapter 14, verse 8, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Not only the spirit of power and love, but the spirit also of sound mind, which refers to discipline, self-control, properly prioritized in the mind, focusing on the sovereign nature and the perfect purposes of our eternal God. But how do we know when we are filled with God's Spirit? Well, we are more courageous in our relationships. We love people, not hate them. We enjoy being with them, not being a part of them. And we are not afraid of them because God's Spirit is in our life. The Bible says God is love. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And what does love do? Love casts out fear. No, love casts out all fear. The operative word, all, the emphasis, all. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And the more of God that we have in our life, the less cringing or fear of timidity we will have. So the starting point in connecting with anybody is to pause, pray, and say, God, give me the courage to take the first step. What about the second guideline? The second guideline for building fruitful and godly relationships is to be considerate of others' needs. Considerate of others' needs. That means we have to be empathetic. And that empathetic means that we are insightful and we have some understanding about the person. In other words, if we want to connect with people, we have got to start with the person's needs and not our own. That is how we make the initial connection. There is a Chinese proverb which says what? Seek to understand before being seeking to understand. Sorry, all caught up here. Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's sorry about that. The Bible talks about this though in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. What it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. Let each esteem other better than himself or herself. Look out for one another's interests and not your own. And one of the ways of doing that, we have to have respect for one another. Not only that we have to have respect for one another, but you know, we always hear about some conflict. And this could be a very good verse to use. Or I should say not only verse, two verses in conflict resolution. But that is such a countercultural verse in today's setting. Everything in our culture, from the moment we were born, tends to train us to do what? To think, but think how? Me first. And as a result, we are all disconnected. Because we are all thinking about ourselves and not thinking about the needs of others. Yes, as I speak, it's not about you. The world does not revolve around you just as it does not revolve around me. Yes, we are very special in God's eyes, though. We are precious to God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, God has chosen us, and he has chosen us to be a special people. And also in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, we also know that we are a peculiar treasure unto him. You know that word peculiar is interesting to remember in here. But we were created for a purpose. But the world does not revolve around you or me. Here is another truth. If we want our needs to be met, first, start focusing on meeting the needs of other people. But why? Because God wants us to learn to be unselfish. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says that love is kind. That's the, obviously, we would say the definition for love is kind. But you know, why should we want to be unselfish? We want to practice the nature of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. And God's goodness, therefore, is universal. Universal. There is no one who can say he's not or she is not indebted to God's kindness, which is universally bestowed upon all mankind. And he wants us to learn to love and to be generous like him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, you must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. You know, we can always draw back, but that isn't the way to do it. Remember, God forgave you, so you must forgive others. Again, as you look at that, Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we are enjoined to do what? To love our enemies. And not only to love our enemies, but to do good and lend, hoping. Yes? What? For nothing. Again, knowing that our rewards shall be great. And not only it shall be great, but we shall be called the children of the highest. Part of being considerate of others' needs is making, therefore, allowances for their faults. Dear Abby once ran a letter from a divorced woman. And she wrote, and by the way, I can hear under somebody's breath, oh, Mr. D is a Dear Abby fan. Oh, the Christine fan. No. But she wrote, this lady wrote, I am 44 years old and I would like to find a man my age with no bad habits. And Abby promptly replied, so would I. There simply are not any people without bad habits or faults. And that's true. We all have sinned and we all have come short of God's glory. So to be considerate, we have to understand that none of us is righteous. And we all have gone out of that way at some time. And Romans chapter 3, if you want a reference, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 12. Therefore, we have to make allowance for each other's faults. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says what? Love forgets mistakes. It is not that we are blind to somebody else's fault. Rather, we choose to overlook them. Do we? And will we? Great friends are good forgetters. You have nothing else to remember. You can put in that and put it in bold. They forget the bad stuff, and they forget the bad stuff intentionally. How they do it? They use what we call the erasers. In the Caribbean parlance, we call it the rubber. Yes. But erasers, they do not rub it in, but they rub it out. So for building fruitful and godly relationship, we have to be courageous and to use our initiative by making the first step. And we also have to be considerate of other people's needs. What about the third guideline? The third guideline for building fruitful and godly relationship with others is to connect using constructive words. Use your words to edify. Again, goes back into the opening prayer. Build people up and not to tear them down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That it may do what? Benefit those who listen. Let our words then be blessing to others. God wants us to take these words and use them to build people. Did we know that the words that come out of our mouths are like a tool? Sometimes they are like a sledgehammer. Oh yes, we swing away without thinking, and know what we do? We end up with a pile of relational rubble. Sometimes they are like a saw, cutting people down. But look, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. What it says, you know, when we start talking about disparaging about others, etc. What it says here in Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, 21. This is serious business we are on. And if we keep using these tools, inevitably, our relationships are going to suffer. One reason that we are not constructive with our words is we do not realize how powerful they are. Yet, I expect you can still remember those things that are said in a thoughtless way as far back as your primary school or your secondary school by a teacher. I like to always say, Mr. Donnelly, be careful, but I can also say Ms. White too. That is how powerful words are. They leave a lasting impact. And so when it comes out of your mouth, think of it as a power tool and be extremely careful with it. Though it is not what you say that mostly matters, it is how you make the person feel that lovingly stays in his or her mind. Here is how to build. I like to use Mr. Prince Seeley's words. Edify instead of destroying with your words. We are going this time to the STLS way. What's the STLS way? Stop excusing. Stop saying, I did not mean to say that. Realize that what you say impacts everyone around you. So therefore, think through what you are going to say and do so with godly intentions. We are on the journey to the kingdom of God to live forever and ever to eternity. Not only stop excusing, talk less. It is a power tool. We do not have to use it as much. And one of the reasons that we get into trouble is that we talk too much sometimes. We need to talk less, though. As Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wants not sin. But he who refrains his lips, what they say, is wise. So stop excusing, talk less, but listen more. Listen more. If I listen more, I can understand people's needs. And such is what we are catering to. But we need that wise tip from nature. No, nature's great, you know. God made us, right? How he made us? How many ears he gave us? Two.
What do you notice about the ears? They open. What about the mouth?
Mm-mm.
Yes, it closed. It's one though, one mouth.
So start building to, not only that you stop excusing and talk less and listen more, but start building. Think, first of all,
what do they need? How can I use a word of encouragement to build them up? How can I use a word of challenge to make a difference in somebody's life for the better and for the good?
How can I use my words to build up people I love the most? So take the initiative to connect. Well, make the first move. Be empathetic, and that is, be considerate of other people's needs. And be connecting by using constructive words. I like to go to the fourth guideline. And the fourth guideline for building fruitful and godly relationship with others is this. Be honest and open, we would say candid, about the problems in the relationship. Now, being candid or honest and open and being connected together, that would help us. When we are honest and when we are open, we connect together. There was a song. I may not remember it too well. But love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. You do not have one without the other. And genuine, healthy, deep, meaningful relationships are built on honesty and not flattery. Flattery is a sign of a manipulator and not a sign of somebody who is genuinely your friend. And all of us have blind spots. Every one of us. I know you do. And the question that really matters is, do you have anybody, yes, in your life who loves you enough to point them out? You cannot grow unless someone points out the things that you cannot see, we would say, or discover in your life. But that needs changing. Yes, it needs changing. So let me give you three rules for being honest, or open, or what we say, candid in our relationships. They're not exhaustive, I should say. So one, compliment in private. No, compliment in public. But you do what? Oh no, not in public though. Not in public. Not in public. You do this. You know, you go into the private. Correct in private. That's the one you want. Correct in private, but compliment in public. Say compliment, Mr. Lewis. I don't have a private, thankfully. Do this especially though with your children, your spouse, your employees, and your friends. So compliment in public. But in private, you could do a little correction. In private. Correct when they are up and not down. When I'm feeling on a high, or I'm feeling good, as we would say, or I can handle any correction you throw at me. But when I'm feeling tired or not in the best frame of mind, I cannot handle anything. Timing, therefore, is everything. It's of the essence. When you are being candid, as I would say, honest and open. Compliment in public, correct in private, correct when they're up and not down. And the third, never offer correction until you have proven that you are also willing to be corrected. Remember, seek to understand before seeking to be understood. No tight tongue in that one. You open up your life before you're expecting someone else to be open with you. Connecting means that we care enough to be honest and frank in the relationship. And that is why the Father and Christ can be so candid with us about our sins and faults. With whom do you need to get honest? Is there an issue that you need to be candid about? With Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. An honest answer is the sign of what? True friendship. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. In building fruitful, godly relationships, the guidelines discussed so far, take the initiative to connect, make the first move, be courageous, be considerate of others' needs, be empathetic, connect by using constructive words, and be honest and open about the problems in the relationship. We'll go then to the fifth. The fifth says, keep confidential information confidential. Keep confidential information confidential. If relationships are going to work, we have to be confidential with information. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man, what he does? He keeps a secret. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. In the King James Version, it would say, he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Are you the kind of person that someone can trust with confidential information? We tend to think of gossip as one of those little things, sins. And we term it a misdemeanor sin. You always look for these court beautiful phrases, you know, to show up all these ugly things. Not to show them up, but to just gloss over them. But when God talks about gossip, you know, he puts it on a list. He puts it in a list, in a category. And you won't believe that among this category, what you will find. You can look at Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. You can put it in your notes, Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. But he put it among no other thing but murder. Interesting. Why? Because it's incredibly destructive to relationships. We need to ask the eternal God through fasting to restrain our tongue. Our tongue from gossip, slander, whispering, going around the little corner and you know, getting on the telephone, murdering the person. Our ears listening to the gossip. Oh, I want to hear that one. Give me that piece. Slander and all of the other unsavory matters related to another person's life. We need to refrain our minds from thinking evil thoughts as well. And our hearts from these certain things other than the eternal has allowed. What is gossip? Gossip is talking about a situation with somebody who is neither a part of the solution nor a part of the problem. And if we are honest with ourselves, what we are doing is making ourselves feel a little more important at somebody else's expense. We are talking about their hurts. We're talking about their problems. But in a way that makes us feel a little bit superior to them. Where's the humility? And we think of ourselves as bigots and more righteous than the other person. But we are murdering, verbally speaking. That is the danger and the hurt of gossip. Therefore, have control over our mouth and watch what comes into our mind by taking 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3, sorry, 3, verse 2 and verse 3 into account. I'm not going to turn there. But you know, there's a story in the Old Testament about a family that struggled with gossip. Moses had a sister, her name was Miriam, who one day got caught up in gossiping about Moses amidst the rest of the people. And they were most presumptuous. God cannot stand those who try to rise to a position that they have not been called to, as Miriam discovered. Recall Lucifer, who influenced and persuaded one third of the angels who rebelled. He was no doubt in the gossiping mode, though the scriptures did not expressly declare that as such. But that's my own. That's Osmond Douglas's own, by the way. But getting back to the story, God called them together, and Moses and Miriam. And he spoke with Miriam. What did he tell her? What she had done was wrong. But immediately, if you notice, and you can see the account in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 through 15. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 through 15. She became leprous. But look at what God did next. He invited Moses to do what? To pray for Miriam's healing. To pray for the one who gossiped against him. Is this not interesting to note? Some of you have been deeply hurt by gossip. Well, the story of Moses and Miriam suggests God will say to you, pray for that person's healing. The one who gossiped about you. And that way, you can be released from the hurt that has come into your life. And once God fixes it, it will be well taken care of. Do not take matters into your own hands. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. It says what? Pray for them who spitefully use you. God has given us, like what he has done for Solomon, a wise and understanding heart, as we will look in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. Perhaps you are the one who's been gossiping. And you have been the one talking about other people with the story of the Old Testament to remind each of us how serious gossip is and how hurtful it can be to people, no matter what side of the situation or the fence you are on. James enjoins us in James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. Speak not evil one to another, brethren. It also connotes, stop talking harshly to one another. This is on the continuum of fostering confidence. The truth is, when you keep confidences, it makes your relationships healthier. And it enables you to keep connecting with people in a rather positive and a genuine way. So remember, building fruitful, godly relationships depend on taking the initiative to connect and make the first move, being considerate of others, and that is being empathetic, connect by using constructive words, be honest and open about problems in the relationship, but keep confidential information confidential. And the truth is that when you do all of this, we are not end yet. We are not end yet. Because we move on to know the sixth guideline. The sixth guideline, obviously that final one, for building fruitful godly relationships, what we must do? We must be committed to the relationship. We must be committed to the relationship. Realizing that all relationships require a little CRC. By the way, I'm not talking about WD-40 that we put in the cars or what, that little item, all right? What is a CRC? Commitment, respect, and communication. I repeat those. Commitment, respect, and communication. It takes a lot of time to build deep connection with somebody. And it requires commitment. Never betray the trust of a true friend. Bobo reported that he could not count the number of times that either he or Sue, his wife, have felt walking out of a relationship, particularly in the early years. But they did not. Why? He said, because they had made a commitment to God. And he declared that he was so glad that they did not give up. And today his wife is the best friend and cannot imagine his life without her. But some of you may be in a relationship right now that is hanging on by less than a thread. And some of you are already at the stage of physical separation. But are we at the stage of spiritual separation too? Do not give up. We have a miracle-working God, and the same God that raises the dead can raise a dead relationship, but we are willing to be changed. Look beyond the present. Move on to that blessed hope. This will change everything in our lives, bringing about a meaningful connection with God and Jesus Christ, and also our fellow begotten children of God's family. But it takes commitment. Think yourself as a link in the living unbroken chain that extends from the time Jesus Christ lived on this earth to present. And we must keep that chain strong by telling off and showing and be committed, obviously, of his work in the gospel and the reach the future generations. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, in this commitment, a friend loves at all times. But God and Jesus Christ had a great friend, Abraham. And that means even when it is inconvenient, when you do not feel like it, even when the person does not deserve it, even at personal cost, that is what authentic and real friendship is all about. Let us commit ourselves to being faithful to our friends, like Onesiphorus to Paul. Paul was locked in a damp Roman dungeon, awaiting execution, and he could not help but feel hurt that many of his former friends had deserted him. And how grateful he was for the friendship of Onesiphorus. This man, he left his family. He left an active ministry in Ephesus. Why? To befriend Paul. And when he arrived in Rome, he searched diligently to find where Paul was in prison. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 in reference. And he courageously visited the Apostle Paul. Once? Twice? No. Again and again and again and again. Repeatedly. Paul said of him in verse 16, he often refreshed me. Are we often refreshing one another? I was not ashamed
of my chain.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24,
a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
I have one of those. He's not really here in the church, but I know he's a great friend. I have one also, not only here in Barbados, but one in St. Kitts. And I think you all know him. I'm not going to call his name. But what does a man of many companions may come to ruin mean? That mere socializing can keep you from having deep relationships. That's why some may not come to church too often either, if you be careful with that. That's mere socializing. And you can be so busy making acquaintances outside that you never spend the time and the energy and the effort it takes to cultivate deep, satisfying intimacy of good friendship with God, Jesus Christ, and his fellow begotten children of God. After all, God was the person who called them. Why are we getting away from them? And also showing disrespect to God by not coming to what he has called us to, his solemn assembly. We do not need a lot of friends to make it in the world, but you do need a few good ones as God's beloved special treasures which he places among us. One good friendship is better than 10,000 million acquaintances. The acquaintances are not going to be there in the crisis, but the genuine friend will be. Are we godly friends to God's begotten, beloved children who dwell among us? Remember this, that every important close connection begins with commitment. And talking about commitment, God occupied himself with us in his mind as he considered us, and he pulled us inexorably to himself. John 6:44. And not only that, he placed us in Jesus Christ's care. And he instructed Jesus Christ to keep us and not to lose us. And Christ declares back in John chapter 17, verse 12, those who you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. So much in his confidence. And his relationship, he indicates back in John chapter 10, and we all know it and we can be comforted. He said, my Father, yes, those who you have given me, he said, I'm not going to allow them to get out of you, my hand or your hand. And God said, I can put my hand with yours and we can do what we call a double lock. And none of them will be lost. That is commitment. How committed are we to God's way? Have you gone to someone besides your spouse and said, I just want you to know that I will always be there for you? Have you ever established that kind of intentional godly commitment and said, I want to grow close to you as a friend in God's family? We need to do more of this as the end times closing in on us. And here's the bottom line. You need people in your life who will be courageous, considerate, constructive, candid, confidential, and committed in the family of God.
as we seek building a fruitful and godly, or she says, we seek building godly and fruitful relationships.
But there is only one way you are going to get people like this in your life. You have to be that kind of authentic, God-oriented friend first. It starts with each of us being godly through and through in our relationship. With God and Christ first, how much quality time are we paying to them in our relational and spiritual duties? If we are perfecting such, we will be given to more intensive and consistent Bible study. Not to argue, but to be made solid in the way of God. And prayer, and fasting often, and musing on God's word frequently in our life. Christ was on record advancing the following. He said, if you remain in me, John chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 9. He said, if you remain in me and my words, referring to feeding and meditating on God's words, no doubt. He said, they will remain in you. And he said, ask, associated with what? Prayer. Whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. The connection goes further. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And Paul followed up the connection, the building, yes, of fruitful godly relationships as he enjoins us. He said, be cheerful no matter what. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Prayer at all times. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong and are connected to Christ Jesus to live. And I would like to use, that's the message, but I like to use the King James, New King James Version. In verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always. In 17, prayer without ceasing. In Luke chapter 18 verse 1, we find that Christ is corroborating in his parable specifically, as I said, in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, where he declared to his disciples that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And in verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks. But why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It would also be wise for us to give heed to deep, sincere, godly, fervent meditation and regular fasting, so deepening our relational ties with God and his Son, in addition to our brethren. For once, our ways please God by establishing fruitful, godly relationships among ourselves. It would evidence then our discovering that even our enemies will be at peace with us, as in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Fellow begotten children of God's family, we can guarantee the godly, brotherly connection as a consequence. And it will witness us realizing the most fruitful, rewarding life ever as we forge ahead in our journey to the kingdom of God with eternity in view. Yes, lasting forever friendship with God, Jesus Christ, and the Son of God's family. Be inspired and keep praising, keep honoring, keep glorifying God and Jesus Christ. They deserve the credit in assisting us in building the fruitful, godly relationship in honor and glory unto them.